In February of 1991, an American Patriot missile battery stationed in Dhahran, Saudi Arabia, was tracking an incoming Scud missile. The radar saw it perfectly. The tracking software locked on. The system fired. And then, well, the interceptor missed completely.
Right. 28 people died that day.
Yeah. And not because of a mechanical failure, you know, and not because of human error. They died because of a microscopic rounding error.
It's honestly one of the most chilling examples of what happens when we, like, blindly trust the math inside our machines. Mm-hmm. Because the system's internal clock was measuring time in tenths of a second. But to calculate the actual time, it had to multiply that value by one-tenth. And in binary code, the fraction one-tenth produces an infinitely repeating decimal.
Which a physical computer literally cannot store.
Exactly. The computer's 24-bit memory register just chopped off the end of that infinite decimal.
And over 100 hours of continuous operation, that tiny microscopic chopped off fraction compounded until the system's clock was off by, I mean, about a third of a second. And a Scud missile travels so fast that a third of a second translates to over half a kilometer of distance. The data simply vanished, and the interceptor basically chased a ghost.
We often treat computational mathematics as this pristine, flawless diamond, right? Like, we punch in numbers and we expect absolute infallible logic in return. But the reality is that the mathematical landscape inside our hardware is incredibly fragile. It is constantly making these desperate, invisible compromises just to keep up with the physical limits of its own memory.
Which brings us perfectly to the mission of today's deep dive. We have this fascinating source document outlining a thought experiment in computer science about a concept called rational addition numbers, or RANs.
Right.
And what we're exploring for you today is how a seemingly rudimentary tweak to the way we encode data, literally separating dominant integers from tiny fractions, can act as a safeguard against the exact kind of data loss that causes, you know, multi-million dollar software crashes and catastrophic real-world failures.
The author of the source is really tapping into a profound philosophy here. A mathematical concept isn't just about the abstract values it represents. We have to evaluate it based on its precision behavior, meaning how that concept actually acts when a physical machine is forced to process it under intense memory pressure.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because on the surface, this source document reads like an esoteric math debate. But it quickly evolves into this incredibly clever structural life hack for data architecture. To see why this works, we really have to look at the anatomy of the RAN data structure itself.
The architecture is wonderfully straightforward, honestly. The document proposes a class of numbers defined by three parameters instead of the usual two you'd see in a standard rational number.
Because normally a standard fraction just has a numerator and a denominator, two parameters.
Exactly. But this rational addition number system introduces a third parameter acting as an integer offset. So the structural format is essentially A over B plus C.
Okay, so this is basically how we handle everyday measurements. Instead of telling someone you are 74 inches tall, you say you're 6 feet and 2 inches, same exact height, just broken into a dominant chunk and a remainder.
That is a perfect analogy. And the author is completely upfront about the mathematical reality here. You know, if all those parameters are integers, you haven't invented a new universe of math. The set of rational addition numbers is identical to the set of standard rational numbers. You've just found a different three-parameter encoding for the exact same values.
So it's essentially treating a mixed fraction like what we learn in grade school as a distinct data structure, which is fascinating because if you think about how we program formal algebraic systems, they absolutely despise this format.
Oh, they hate it.
Right. Computational algebra almost universally forces numbers into improper fractions because it's mathematically unambiguous. There's only one way to represent a specific value in its lowest terms. But with RANs, you are intentionally introducing redundancy into the system.
Redundancy is the perfect word for it. By splitting the number into an integer offset and a fractional correction, you create multiple valid states for the exact same underlying value. Like, a value of 1.5 could be encoded as 1/2 plus 1.
Right.
Or it could be encoded as 3/2 plus 0. Or negative 1/2 plus 2.
Which, if I'm designing a compiler or trying to write efficient code, feels like a nightmare. You don't want the computer burning cycles trying to figure out which version of the number it's looking at, right? You generally want one clear deterministic rule.
You absolutely do. And this is why the author immediately introduces a canonical form to standardize the architecture. The system essentially enforces a strict rule, A fractional part must always be positive, and it must be strictly smaller than the denominator.
Got it. So the system defaults to the cleanest representation, separating the dominant whole number from the fractional remainder.
Exactly.
But here is the crucial takeaway from the source. This redundant, clunky data structure, which feels like a step backward computationally, is actually hiding a massive structural advantage. By forcing that strict separation between the large part of the number and the small part, it completely neutralizes the villain of our story.
And that villain is the physical limit of the hardware itself. Computers do not possess infinite memory. They operate using strict, predefined registers. If we look at the standard IE754 floating point format that most modern processors use, it allocates a very specific number of bits for the significant digits of a number and a specific number of bits for the exponent.
So when you try to stuff too much dynamic range into a register that is just too small, you trigger a massive failure. The source document refers to this as catastrophic cancellation. Let's look at how this actually plays out mechanically, because this is what terrifies software engineers.
Consider a simplified hypothetical system with a stripped six-digit floating point limit. The hardware can only hold six significant digits of any value in its memory bucket. Everything beyond that threshold is mercilessly truncated.
And for everyday web browsing, six digits is plenty. But what happens when we start coding, say, a high-frequency trading algorithm or a physics engine, and we need to calculate a tiny differential between two massive variables? Say we have variable X, which is 1,000,000,000,000,001.
And we have variable Y, which is exactly 1 million.
Right.
The true mathematical difference is microscopic, just that tiny tail end. But watch the behavior of our six-digit processor when we ask it to subtract Y from X. The hardware evaluates X first. It sees 1,000,000,000,000,001. It prioritizes the highest magnitude digits, the millions, so it fills its six available memory slots with the one and the five zeros following it.
The bucket is full. The register has completely run out of space.
And because the architecture demands a single unified evaluation, it simply drops the decimal. It stores X as 1.00000 times 10 to the sixth power. The tiny correction at the end doesn't just get rounded. It is entirely annihilated.
Then it looks at Y, which is exactly 1 million, and that fits perfectly into the register. The computer executes this subtraction, 1 million minus 1 million, and the output is just a flat, confident zero.
The system confidently hands you a mathematically incorrect answer, with no error warning whatsoever, because as far as the hardware is concerned, it operated perfectly within its programmed constraints.
That is terrifying. Wait, so the computer forces a premature evaluation, squishes the data into a single register, and permanently deletes the delicate detail. That's like taking a beautifully detailed, high-res raw photograph, compressing it down to send over a cellular network as a tiny JPEG, and then later trying to zoom in on a license plate in the background of the image. The data isn't blurry. The pixels literally do not exist anymore.
That analogy hits the nail on the head. The data is irrecoverable. Standard floating point evaluation collapses all information into one bucket, and because the processor has to align the decimal points to execute the arithmetic, the massive scale completely bulldozes the microscopic scale. That is the definition of catastrophic cancellation.
Okay, so we clearly see the disaster of forced early evaluation. The detail dies. So how does the RAND structure explicitly prevent this? If we run that exact same subtraction through a system programmed to use rational addition numbers, how does the architecture save the data?
It saves the data through strict physical isolation. The RAND architecture fundamentally refuses to collapse the number into a single hardware register. It explicitly stores the dominant integer, offset the millions in one dedicated memory location, and it stores the microscopic fractional correction in an entirely separate, isolated location.
Oh, wow. So they never physically touch inside the CPU's memory during storage.
Right.
If we map out that same subtraction, variable X gets split. The dominant integer of 1 million goes into the offset bucket. The fraction of 1 over 1 million goes into the correction bucket. Variable A just has a 1 million offset and a zero fraction.
And the subtraction logic processes them independently. The processor subtracts the dominant integer offsets from each other. 1 million minus 1 million is zero. The massive values cancel each other out purely algebraically without ever interacting with the tiny fractions.
Which completely bypasses the hardware limit. The CPU doesn't have to struggle to align a massive exponent with a tiny exponent in the same register.
Exactly. Then the system processes the fractional buckets. 1 over 1 million minus 0 leaves you with 1 over 1 million. the exact, precise, microscopic detail survives the operation completely uncorrupted.
Here's where it gets really interesting. It's essentially the VIP escort service for data points, you know. By keeping them strictly separated, the massive numbers battle it out with each other at the main entrance, and the tiny fraction gets safely escorted through the VIP back door directly to the final output without ever getting trampled by the larger magnitude data.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, what the source is demonstrating is a highly coveted behavioral trait. Avoiding catastrophic cancellation by separating scales is a constant battle in programming. The text actually points out how this RAN concept conceptually mirrors several heavy-duty, industry-standard workarounds that engineers already use.
Yeah, the document name drops a few of these, and it's definitely worth digging into the mechanics of them to see just how desperate the industry is for this kind of precision. The first major one it highlights is Kahan summation.
Kahan summation, developed by the legendary numerical analyst William Kahan, is a brilliant algorithm specifically designed to add a massive list of floating point numbers without losing precision. If you just run a simple loop adding numbers, your running total eventually gets so large that when you try to add the next tiny number in the list, its low-order bits get pushed right off the edge of the floating point register and are lost.
So it suffers from the exact same bulldozing effect. How does Kahan's algorithm fix it?
By introducing a dedicated compensation variable on the side. When the algorithm adds a tiny number to the massive running total, it calculates exactly how much of that tiny number got chopped off by the hardware limit. It stores those lost bits in the compensation variable. Then on the next loop, it subtracts that compensation from the next number before adding it. It essentially catches the overflow and feeds it back into the system.
That is incredibly clever. It's dedicating a separate memory space specifically to babysit the tiny details that the main register ignores. It's the same philosophical approach as the RAN structure, keeping the tiny fractional corrections strictly segregated from the massive integer dominant.
The parallels definitely continue when you look at another technique mentioned in the source double-double arithmetic.
Let me guess based on the name. Is it literally just taking two standard 64-bit floating point numbers and stapling them together to emulate a larger memory space?
That's a very accurate way to visualize it. In hardware, you might only have a 64-bit register. To get more precision, software engineers represent a single value as the unevaluated sum of two standard floats. You have a main float that holds the bulk of the magnitude and a correction float that holds the remaining precision that couldn't fit into the main one.
So again, we have a dominant offset and a microscopic correction living in two separate buckets. But double-double is software emulated, right? I would assume that means every time you want to do a simple addition, the CPU has to run a complex sequence of instructions just to manage those two separate registers.
It incurs a massive performance penalty. You are burning extra CPU cycles purely to manage the relationship between the main and the correction. It is not native hardware arithmetic, but it feels like quantum physics simulations or orbital mechanics. The engineers gladly pay that CPU tax because the alternative, losing the data entirely, is simply unacceptable.
The source also brings up exact rational arithmetic and symbolic computation as other parallels. These feel a bit more extreme, honestly.
They are the absolute extremes of preserving precision. Exact rational arithmetic forces the computer to bypass floating point decimals entirely. It just stores massive numerators and denominators. If the numbers get huge, it just allocates more memory, scaling up infinitely until you literally run out of RAM.
And symbolic computation is when you don't even let the computer do the math at all, right? If you have an expression like pi plus 10 to the 12th power, a standard computer would turn pi into 3.14159, and then that tiny decimal would instantly be swallowed up by the massive 10 to the 12th.
Right. So instead of crunching the numbers, a symbolic computation engine just builds a data tree. It literally stores the symbol for pi, the plus sign, and the expression for 10 to the 12th. It holds the concept of the math in memory, completely unevaluated.
Which brings us to the absolute golden rule of this entire deep dive. The common thread between Kahan summation, double-double symbolic computation, and these rational addition numbers is a principle the author highlights evaluate as late as possible. Do not let the CPU mash the numbers together into a single register until it is absolutely mathematically unavoidable. The moment you force an early evaluation, you destroy the high-resolution data.
Premature evaluation is the enemy of precision. If you can preserve the structural separation of your data, you preserve the truth of the system.
But, okay, this makes me incredibly suspicious. If the RAN system perfectly solves catastrophic cancellation for these specific scenarios, and it mathematically protects the data, Why isn't this the default architecture? Why isn't every compiler just automatically structuring numbers as an integer plus a fraction? There has to be a brutal structural trade-off happening here.
There is always a cost in data architecture, and the source document meticulously details the specific limitation of RANDs. The magic of this system relies entirely on keeping the dominant offset and the microscopic correction isolated from each other. When you add or subtract, the system works beautifully. The large integers interact cleanly with each other, and the tiny fractions interact cleanly with each other. The VIPs stay safely away from the crowd.
But the moment you introduce multiplication, you are forcing those two groups to interact. You can't keep them isolated anymore.
Think about the underlying algebra. If you multiply one RAND, say A over B plus C by another RAND over E plus A, you have to distribute every single term across the other.
Every piece multiplies against every other piece.
Yeah.
The fraction from the first number is forced to multiply against the massive integer offset of the second number.
And that is exactly where the architecture breaks down. The formula forces the integer parts and the fractional parts to violently cross-pollinate.
Wait, so as long as we're just adding or subtracting, we are safe. But the moment we multiply, we basically scramble the egg. The integer and fractional parts bleed into each other, and suddenly our neat little fraction balloons out of control.
Yes. The author refers to this consequence as the size growth of the rational part. Because the terms cross-pollinate, the correction term no longer stays microscopic. It balloons out of control. And once that fractional remainder balloons in size, the strict, stable separation that made the system so immune to rounding errors is completely compromised.
Plus, even beyond the math breaking down, there is a very real physical cost to just existing as a RAN. The text points out you are fundamentally storing three parameters instead of two.
Memory architecture is a zero-sum game. Storing an A, a B, and a C requires a baseline of 50% more memory than a standard numerator and a denominator. And because the arithmetic rules for adding those three parameters are far more complex than simple floating point addition, it demands significantly more processing power from the CPU for every single operation.
So if you try to build an entire operating system out of RANDs, your computer would grind to an absolute halt. It's not a silver bullet meant to replace standard floating point hardware.
Far from it. The author concludes that RANDs are a highly specialized instrument. They vastly outperform standard rational systems or standard floating point evaluations, but their utility is strictly confined to very specific computational environments. If you have an algorithm dominated by large integer offsets and very small exact fractional corrections, and your primary operational load is addition and subtraction, the RAN architecture is brilliant. It's a surgical scalpel, not a Swiss Army knife.
So what does this all mean for you, listening to this deep dive, whether you are engineering a complex fluid dynamics simulation, managing high-frequency financial algorithms, or honestly just organizing a massive data set in a corporate spreadsheet? This thought experiment highlights a fundamental truth. How you architect your data is just as critical as the data itself. Separating the major dominant offset from the nuanced microscopic detail can literally save a system from catastrophic collapse. The raw power of delaying final judgments, refusing to collapse your data into a single simplistic summary, preserves the highest resolution of truth until it is absolutely necessary to compute. You have to keep the components separate. Protect the details.
This raises a fascinating question, and it's a structural thought I want to leave you with today. We generally view the math concepts we are taught in grade school, things like basic mixed fractions, as rudimentary training wheels. We assume they are clunky, inefficient tools that we are meant to discard the moment we reach higher level calculus or computational logic.
Yeah, that they're just for kids.
Right. But if reverting to a clunky, redundancy-filled grade school mixed fraction can actually solve a massive real-world blind spot in modern computer science, what other inefficient or discarded mathematical concepts from our childhood might secretly hold profound computational superpowers, just waiting to be weaponized by the right programmer?